Well, my daughter Piper, I shouldn't say my daughter, I should say our daughter Piper, has moved back to the USA some time ago, and she is working now, and she took a job at a very famous American restaurant called Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is a Christian-owned and run restaurant that is famous for their chicken sandwiches. As you can see there, very delicious. And they had a revenue in 2021 of $5.8 billion USD. $5.8 billion US dollars in 2021. So it's a company that's known for its customer service. Piper always has to say to people, "My pleasure." Wish she said that at home, it'd be great, right? I guess if we paid her, she would. But Chick-fil-A is a well-known restaurant for its service and for its quality. But there's one thing about Chick-fil-A that is quite unusual and people do not like. They're closed on Sundays. Closed on Sundays. Many people, myself included, have forgotten at times that they were closed on Sundays. Michael's shaking his head. Forgotten that they're closed on Sundays. I'll never forget. I think the last time I was in America a few years ago, I forgot what day it was because of the time change. And I was running through the Atlanta airport because I saw, I think it was Atlanta, because I saw the sign that said Chick-fil-A. I'm like, no way. Like, I want one of those without the vegetables and a big iced sweet tea. Couldn't wait. And I got there, and the door was closed, and it was black, pitch black dark. And I had forgotten that it was Sunday morning on the schedule. They have projected that Chick-fil-A would earn 1 billion more USD per year if they would just open on Sundays. But they're not. Why are they closed on Sundays? Well, Truett Cathy, the founder, who used to be our landlord for some time when we lived in America, he owned the house that we lived in. Here's what he said, quote, "Closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God and showing our loyalty to Him," end quote. That's a sermon in and of itself, isn't it? Well, are Christians supposed to keep the fourth commandment today? If so, what does it mean to keep it well? Let's pray. Lord, it's a scary thing for me to think that I can in any way improve upon what you've already said. So I pray first and foremost that your word would stand out and your word would be like a sword, like a healing balm, like a hammer, like seed in the soil, and that anything I say will only help. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, week number one, we looked at the first commandment, which was, "You shall have no other gods before me," or "beside me," "besides me." And we talked about how that was really a command to worship the right God. Worship the only God. Don't worship any other gods but the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh. Command number two, "You shall not make unto yourself any carved image," was really us saying, worship God rightly. Worship the right God and worship Him rightly. Don't go to the Lord God Almighty through a statue or an image, or even your favorite pastor or anything else, but go to God directly through Jesus Christ. Week number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I tried to summarize by saying worship God sincerely. Worship God sincerely. Don't take His name upon yourself lightly. Today, I hope this is accurate, but I would describe this command as worship God timely. Worship God timely. Exodus chapter 20 will be in verses 8 through 11. Says this, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Holy. Let me give you, as we start, a big idea. My main idea this morning, I want to summarize this way. From the beginning of creation, God has graciously given His creatures, notice I didn't say people, because it included their animals. God has graciously given His creatures a day per week of worshipful rest from their labors for their good and His glory. From the beginning of creation, God has graciously given His creatures a day per week of worshipful rest from their labors for their good and His glory. I started to call this restful worship, but I landed on worshipful rest. Maybe I would change it. First, I want you to see something about this command, or these commands in this number four, is I want you to see the foundation for this commandment. The foundation for this commandment. I want to look at verses 8 and 11 on the ends, and then we'll take a look at the middle verses 9 and 10. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day. He rested on that day. He blessed the Sabbath day. He made it holy. So, remember it and keep it holy. Those go together. Notice the first word is remember. Remember. That's because it's been mentioned before. Exodus 20 is not the first place for the Sabbath. It's been mentioned before. It's remember to keep the Sabbath. Where was it talked about before? Well, Exodus 16, if you remember, when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they didn't have any food, and so God rained down manna from heaven, and He said, "You are to collect it for 6 days, and on the sixth day, you're to work extra hard and collect more, because the seventh day, there won't be any." It's a Sabbath to the Lord. If you remember, some people tried to go and collect it on the Sabbath, and there wasn't any. So that's the first place that it was mentioned. And the Lord said, "The seventh day is a Sabbath unto me." The word Sabbath comes from Shabbat. You'll maybe hear Jews say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat means to cease or to rest. So Exodus 16 is the first place that it was mentioned amongst the Jews. In Exodus 21 and 31 after this, He gives them further instructions about the Sabbath. And throughout the whole Old Testament, he's continuously reminding them about the Sabbath. But interestingly, in Exodus 21 and 31, he says that it's for that these Sabbaths are for you to be refreshed. Refreshed. And actually, in Exodus 31, it says God rested on the Sabbath day and God was refreshed. Now, God does not sleep or slumber and does not need to be refreshed. We'll get to more about that in a moment. You might want to ask yourself now, though, why did God rest on the Sabbath day if He wasn't tired? So the Sabbath in Exodus 16 and then 21, 31 and all throughout the Old Testament. But the Sabbath goes back to Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Goes all the way back to creation. This is very important. It precedes the Mosaic Law, the Mosaic Law. God said there's a day of rest. I think that that implies that it is something that is still to be kept in some way. Now, there's an argument that now that we're under the new covenant, of course, we don't have to obey the Mosaic Law. We'll mention that in just a little bit. So this day, this seventh day, this Sabbath is blessed by God, and He says it is to be kept holy. Holy. God says take one day in the week and separate it. Holy. And separate this day. Set it apart, this one day. It is to be a day that is different. Different. I was reading this week and one author pointed out that God could have commanded that we work 4 days and have 3 days of Sabbath, but He didn't. So just the fact that God said, just one day, God is very gracious. He could have said, work one and seven should be a Sabbath. God commanded the Jews to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it set apart for another use other than the other days of the week. So number one, the foundation of this commandment goes all the way back to Genesis 2, 1 to 3. Its roots are in God Himself who rested on the seventh day and in creation. Number two, the instructions. Not only the foundation of this commandment, I want to look at the instructions from this commandment. Verses 9 and 10 says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. So you got somebody visiting, got somebody staying with you. That includes them as well. Very interestingly, I don't know if you've noticed before, but this commandment does not start with a negative. It does not start with, don't work on the Sabbath. Don't work on the Sabbath. It starts with, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It's not about rest at all. The first commandment here in this section is actually about work. We should take from this not just how to rest, but how to work. It says work 6 days. 6 days God has given. Now, it doesn't say you should be employed for 6 days. Okay, it doesn't say 6 days you are to work for your company. Okay, it may mean that you work 5 days for your company and then you're like me, you could spend at least one day a week working on your village house, right? That leaks and, you know, all of these other things, light switches, curtain rods that's broken, all these kinds of things. 6 days you shall do your labor and all your work. 6 days God has given us to work. It's His design from the very beginning, by the way, that we should work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So He says, rest one day. You, your kids, your helpers, your animals. Our animal has no problem with that. In Tennessee language, which is a separate language from English, I would say it this way. Work your tail off 6 days and rest your tail in one day. We're supposed to work our tails off 6 days so that we can rest our tail in one day. The Puritans, by the way, had another word for the Sabbath rest. They called it this. They called it the market day of the soul. The market day of the soul. Why soul? Is it really about worship? Well, it is a day of not just rest, but it is to be holy to the Lord. It's not just a day of sleep, but a day of worship. So they refer to it as the market day of the soul because 6 days a week you go to the market, and then on the seventh day you go to the marketplace or the market day of the soul. Another instruction we get from this is that I mentioned before just briefly that the Lord did this. Notice the word for. For in 6 days the Lord Himself made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the Sabbath day. Seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord blessed this day. The Lord said, this day is different. This day is holy. God did it. He wasn't tired. And if the Creator did it, and we are made in the image of God, don't you think we should imitate Him? He also commands it. But it honors Him when we obey it. Do we think we know more than God to say, I don't need one? I don't need a Sabbath. He says that we need a day not to work, but to worship and rest. I was thinking this week, it takes humility, I think, to obey God in this. I think it takes humility to obey God and just say, I'm not working one day a week. To trust that God knows what He's talking about when He says to do this. So the foundation of this commandment is rooted in creation. Some of the instructions that we get from this commandment is that 6 days we are to work and then one day we are not to work because God Himself did this and instituted and called this day holy. Thirdly, I want you to see just quickly the destination of this commandment. I think this Sabbath rest points to another rest. It's not just about us coming here and doing this or resting on the Sabbath. It points to something else. It points to the ultimate rest that we have in Jesus Christ. The rest that Jesus provides from sin is much greater than the rest the Hebrews experienced from slavery in Egypt. This day, to consecrate it as holy, points us and reminds us to the final Sabbath rest that we will have one day in heaven with God forever. So think about it. If we take a day a week and we say, this is a day of restful worship or worshipful rest for me, as we take that, we're pointing to the ultimate rest. I was thinking, even this morning as I was reading over my notes, the Lord's Supper, we take it every time we take it, It points us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, every time we gather together and take a Sabbath, it points us to the Sabbath rest that we will have in the kingdom of God. Could it be that our obeying and not obeying the fourth commandment says something about what we believe about the final rest? So, if I don't regularly take a Sabbath rest, it could say that I don't want to worship or really be with God, that I would rather have the things that the world provides. But if we honor God and take that, then maybe what we're saying is, I do want to worship God and be with God, and He is more worthy than the things the world affords. So it points somewhere else. The foundation is in creation. 6 days, it tells us, instructs us to work, and one day to not work. It points us to another Sabbath rest that God is providing. I really wish we could have water in here. It'd be great. My thirst points me to another thirst, I guess. Fourthly, I want us to see some questions about this commandment. Let's address some of the questions that you may have before I try to bring it all together in application. What day is the Sabbath? That's a question. What day is the Sabbath? What day is the seventh day? Well, it's Saturday. Saturday is the seventh day. Sunday is the first day. Okay? God created man on the sixth day, and the seventh day, God rested. Now, we don't need to think that work is a product of the fall. If you've heard that, that's not true. Work is not a product of the fall. Adam was put in the garden to work the garden and keep it before they fell into sin. So don't say, well, work is part of the sin, you know. Have to do all this all because of sin. No. It's something God created, work. I will say it is profound in and of itself that Adam's first full day of life was a day of Sabbath rest with God. Think about that. Adam was made on the sixth day, created on the sixth day out of the dust of the ground. But his first full day where he slept and woke up was a full day of Sabbath rest with God. I think that's profound. God rested on the seventh day, and presumably, God spent time with Adam on the seventh day. Jews always celebrated the Sabbath on the seventh day, which was Saturday. Jesus was in the tomb on Saturday, rose on the first day. As Christians today, we celebrate our Sabbath, if you will, on Sunday. Why do we do that? We do that because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And so the early church switched their Saturday Sabbath to what was called the Lord's Day. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. So we worship on Sunday to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I have friends who live in Dubai and other places in the Middle East, and Friday is the day off in many of those places. Until recently, they take Sunday as well. But Friday in many Muslim countries is the day that Muslims go to the mosque. And so most churches in Muslim countries will worship on Friday, in some of them. So Friday or Saturday or Sunday. What does the New Testament teach about the Sabbath? What does the New Testament teach about the Sabbath? Well, first, some of Paul's teachings about the Sabbath. Romans chapter 14, verses 5 and 6 says this: one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. That doesn't mean work 7 days. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor to the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Colossians 2:16 says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. I think the New Testament makes it pretty clear that you don't need to judge people if they don't worship, if their Sabbath is not on Sunday. Even though that's traditionally how we commemorate the Lord's resurrection, some people work on Sunday, they should, like me, and have to take another day, hopefully. And if you worship in a Muslim country and you go to church on Friday, and Friday's your Sabbath and Sunday's a work day, the Lord, I think, says don't judge one another in relation to that. What does Jesus have to say about the Sabbath? I can't go into all that Jesus says about the Sabbath, but I want to give you one statement. And it's profound enough that it changes everything or helps us see clearly. Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus said, Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That means God has graciously given us the Sabbath for us. It's a gift. It's not what the Pharisees made it, which was a long, long list of rules. I think I may have told you before, but I worked in a hotel in California, not the song, but I worked in a hotel in California for several years when I was in seminary. And I would never forget these Jewish people coming in, and they told me, they came to the front desk and they had a key card, and they said, "This we have our key card." They were like, "Can you open our door for us?" And I'm like, "Oh, the card's not working." That happened all the time. Let me reprogram it, you know. And they said, no, the card's working fine, we think. But you see, today is the Sabbath, and we cannot open our door. They said, we cannot put the key, you know, the little card that doesn't work most of the time, you know, like at a red light, green light. They said, we cannot open the door for ourselves. So every time they came into the hotel that Saturday, I had to go up and actually open the door and let them in their room. I don't think that's what God has in mind. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Question: are we still to obey the Sabbath commandment? Are we still to obey the Sabbath commandment? My personal answer, from what I think Scripture teaches, is yes. But not in the way that Jews were supposed to. It was a capital offense for them, punishable by death. It was not only part of the moral law, but it was also part of the civil law for them. I don't think that we are to throw out the Sabbath principle, like antinomians who don't believe in the law at all and would throw out the obedience to any Old Testament law. But we're also not to become legalistic and lean towards being like Pharisees. I think that the principle of the Sabbath being ordered in creation is something that we should take seriously. My big idea, again, from the beginning of creation, God has graciously given His creatures a day per week of worshipful rest from their labors for their good and His glory. I think that we honor the Lord when we take a day and make it different and worshipful. And I think it's good for us. How that looks to you is not for me to judge or decide. Lastly, quickly, some application. I'm preaching a little bit longer. Have a couple of pages extra today. Applications. Firstly, it would do us all some good to ponder how we can obey the Sabbath commandment. Or the Sabbath principle, if you will. It would really do us all some good to just evaluate our lives and to think about, how am I doing in this? Am I able to disconnect? Why don't I disconnect on Sundays or one day a week? What does that say about me? What does it say about my heart? What does this say about my life? Or maybe some changes that I need to make. I definitely don't want to be harsh. I'll tell you my personal application in a moment. I would definitely say, if you have a job that requires that you can never rest, you might consider getting another job. Notice I said might consider. Some of us need to think about the Sabbath principle and commandment in a way that, you know, all of us are in different places in life. Some of us need to work harder and not be lazy, and some of us need to work less. We live in a world, and especially a city, I think, that is particularly overworked. Eugene Peterson said this. I thought this was a good quote. Nothing less than a command has the power to intervene in the vicious, accelerating, self-perpetuating cycle of faithless and gracious busyness. This is wrong. This should be graceless. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, right? My notes are correct, but I typed it wrong. Yeah, I typed it in. I'm personally studying this has been very good for me. Look at that. She's amazing. I'm personally studying this. Have had to do some wrestling this week and some struggling, because Sunday is a day that's not a day of rest for me. And I'm trying to think through, how can I honor the Lord myself in this? Like, how can I have another day where I can rest some? Because in ministry, it's really easy. You're kind of always on. Maybe that's all work, you know. So I need to do a better job myself. So what do you need to do personally? I would ask you to consider that, number one. Secondly, just a side note, I think this teaches that you should not make your helper, your domestic helper, work on Sunday for you. If you are one of those that you make your helper work on Sunday, maybe there's another day. People do it differently, right? So some people are like, my helper likes to work on Sunday and she likes to take off on Saturday, whatever. But think about that in relation to not just yourself, but those who live in your household. Thirdly, and I think this is probably the thing that stood out to me the most, is the point of working 6 days is very important. Notice it says, 6 days you shall labor. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Could it be that the reason why people struggle with really resting and really having worshipful rest on the Sabbath and giving ourselves totally to our Sunday, per se, is because we don't work hard enough 6 days a week? If we fritter away our time, Monday through Saturday, then of course it's going to be really easy to be like, I know it's Sunday, but I got all this stuff to do. I got so much to do, you know, because it's been a busy week. But if you're anything like me, it's just easy to waste time the other 6 days to feel like you got to work harder on Sunday. But I think part of the solution is work your tail off 6 days a week so that you can really rest one day a week. So that we don't have to rush away on Sundays, or we don't have to feel like we don't have any time on Sundays to fellowship with people, but we can actually take time to do that. We can actually spend time having lunch with brothers and sisters in the body. We can hang out afterwards. We can then go home and rest and listen to some music and take a nap. Go for a nice walk and refresh ourselves, as Exodus 21 and 31 said, to be refreshed. So question to ask yourself, how can I truly be refreshed one day a week? It'd probably be good for most of us, if not all of us, to take that little square device that is a computer in our hand, and maybe one day a week, just turn it off. That would probably help a lot of us. No, that's not possible for all of us, but maybe more possible than we realize. As I close, maybe you're here today and maybe you're not tired from the week. Maybe you're tired of life. Maybe you're tired, like, perpetually of just life has been hard in general. Tired of messing up, tired of sin. Well, you've come to the right place, to Jesus. Jesus promises to give rest to us, not just in heaven, but now. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, "Come, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. And take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. My yoke is easy and the burden is light." If we would be honest, we would say, "That's just not true, Lord. It doesn't feel that way." But Jesus says that we can have rest and peace in Him. I would just encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, to know that you can come to Him and you can find rest for your soul. You can find rest and peace, forgiveness in Christ. There's only one place to find peace and rest. That's Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, you know that I could have had 30 pages of notes and had to sift through so much to know what to say and what not to say. But you know, the most important question, Lord, for myself is, what am I going to do about this? So, Lord, I pray that you will help me personally and help us all as individuals, that we might know how to really Sabbath well. We might be able to know how to work hard and rest hard. And Lord, you know that all of us are in different places in life. All of us have different needs that you need to work. So I pray that you will do that in each of us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.